Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Alice Flynn, and we want to talk about some things that have been happening in her life to follow up for some things that she did earlier. So first of all, good morning to you, Alice.
Good morning, LaVon. How are you today?
I'm good. I hope you're the same. I know you're keeping busy. And you are, where are you located right now?
I live in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, yes.
And I grew up in Kimballton, Iowa.
And so you were a neighbor in southwest Iowa to lots of folks, and your father was the veterinarian.
Yes, he was.
So I think that also makes a lot more people acquainted with you and your family because he touched the lives of a lot of people through his work. So what you did then was to write a book about your father's life. And what was the title of that one?
Unforgettable, the biography of Captain Thomas J. Flynn.
Mm-hmm. And during that book, because it was basically about his life from kind of when he was a young man and then went to the service, got married, you know, became a veterinarian. It was in general about his life. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay. But while you were doing that book, I think you found some information about his World War II service that really he had not talked about very much.
No, he, you know, whenever we talked about him, you know, asking questions, he was very limited on what he would respond. One time I asked him where he was in the Battle of the Bulge, and he said, in the Bulge.
Hmm.
That was all he would say.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was really typical of most of the service people who came World War II. They came home, and they got back into their lives. That doesn't mean that there weren't some things that they maybe should have been talking about.
Exactly. There's a lot of hidden stories out there.
Yes. And one of those you found was one that I think many people that did not know about, and you've done great research on it, and it came out of that work with your father's book. So the title of that one is?
The Heroes of Hosingen, Their Untold Story.
And that's really what it was. Not, I mean, of course, the service records, I'm sure, told about it. But in terms of the general public, it's not like the Battle of the Bulge. Everybody kind of, well, almost everybody kind of goes, oh, well, yeah, that's a piece of history. But not so much the one that your father really ended up fighting in. And, of course, he fought in other parts of the war, too. So what's so special about that particular, those battles in that area?
Well, like you said, a lot of people know what, you know, the generals about the Battle of the Bulge, and most people are also familiar with the Band of Brothers story and how they arrived to Bastogne on day three to defend the town, which was really an important thing to have happened, that they were successful in doing that. But what people don't know was what was happening on the front lines for the first 3 days. And my dad, I uncovered that his unit was defending a frontline town on the border of Luxembourg and Germany, just 4 miles from the border, and they were on the direct route, the most important route for Hitler's men to try and capture so that they could easily get to Bastogne. They were hoping to capture the town where my dad was at on day one, and then move on and capture Bastogne on day two. And so he sent his best forces as well as, 10 times as many men as my dad had in their town, at least. And the main part of their thrust was going through the area where the regiment was. Dad was with the 28th Infantry Division, 110th Infantry Regiment, and they were assigned to this 10.5-mile area that was in the main route Hitler wanted to take to try and capture Bastogne. And so Dad's town, they were ordered to hold at all costs when they figured out what was going on by the commanding officers. And so my dad's town was the last one to hold out. He was with K Company, and they enlisted every man that was in the town, no matter what his job was or what unit he was with, to defend it, because there was only 300 of them. And they wound up, they finally ran out of bullets on day three, but they had forced the Germans to pull in a lot more resources than they had originally planned to take the town, and they were just blown away when they had them line up as prisoners, and they only saw there were 300 of them. That they'd been holding up thousands and thousands of Germans that were trying to get to Bastogne, you know, and they had 300 bodies that had, you know, laying around the town that were dead and a couple thousand wounded. So they were just really shocked at what, you know, my dad's small unit had been able to accomplish.
And so
how it had impacted the overall scenario. If they hadn't done that and done their job, it would have been very difficult for us to have gotten to Bastogne ahead of time. It would have been a totally different story, and it's been estimated it would have drug out the war another year if the Germans had actually taken Bastogne at that point in time. So it's an important story that most people don't know.
That's right, and I sort of want to interrupt your story to remind people that there is a new exhibit at the Museum of Danish America that's the title is Denmark, the Biggest and Smallest America's Ally. But as I went through there, I noticed that a part of that display, one of the small parts of the display, mentions the Hosinger Forest. And and that's a part of your father's story, an important part. So it continues, hopefully, to be out there and let people know what's happened. And that's the exciting part, I think, of all of your work, Alice, because of the research you did, because of bringing this story forward, you've received quite a lot of requests from individuals as well as the media.
I have. I have at least 20 families that have contacted me so far that found the book, and that's actually how this second book came about. A lot of these families found my website, and they emailed me, and they, in turn, wanted to share their father's stories. And I got so much more detail of what actually happened in the town. It not only confirmed my dad's specific details he had, but it really made a really personal perspective for me of what was going on. And I really wanted to make sure that all those men were recognized and that their stories were, you know, included in the bigger story. So I rewrote the war part of my dad's biography and made him just one of the cast of characters, although he's still kind of a prominent character because he was, you know, the commanding officer. But I really wanted to capture the whole scenario, you know, everything that as much as I could of who was where and what was going on and what they were thinking and all that, just so people could really understand what was going on at the beginning of the Battle of the Bulge.
Okay.
And what those men sacrificed, because they knew that whole time that they weren't going to either get out alive or they were going to be captured. Mm-hmm. But they did what they were supposed to do, which was so important to the end result of the Battle of the Bulge and the war.
Doing their jobs, what they were supposed to do. So now, because of all of this work, and I'm sure the individual requests and so on have been very satisfying to you, and I know you've helped people do more research and so on, but you've also received recognition or parts of your story have been put in other media, other print.
Yeah, I submitted the story to a couple magazines earlier this year, and USA Today ran a very condensed version of my article in May. It's a USA Today magazine. It's not the newspaper. But and then just this last August, World War II History Magazine ran a little bit longer article that I had written called Sacrifice at Hosingen, the Battle of the Bulge. And to me, you know, the World War II History Magazine that was published in August is the best-selling World War II magazine. So to me, that was, you know, a great compliment that they wanted to use my article. So
yes, it certainly is. And hopefully that, you know, I'm sure you don't give yourself a pat on the back, but it is a pat on the back because of all the research you did. You know, this isn't just something that you go, oh, well, I found this record and that record. You put it all together, and I think, from what I read, some of the critiques I've read, that was unusual to have that total story put together.
Yeah, it, you know, a lot of people don't have the level of detail that I was able to uncover, and I think part of that was because of who my dad was. He was, you know, the commanding officer, and he, on December 6th, the Captain Fiker came back to Hosigan, and Dad just reverted back to his executive officer. But Captain Fiker was then killed as a prisoner of war during an air raid, and so Dad was the senior surviving officer. So when they found him in the POW camps, they did some detailed interviews that wound up being in the National Archives. Mm. Okay. And so finding out about those was important because I also realized then that I found my dad's name in six other books that people had used his interviews. And so to be able to take those stories and that information from these other authors and mm-hmm. weave it all in, it just really, you know, was a great experience for mm-hmm. one. And I just felt like I needed to share that with the world because okay. not everybody was going to have access to that same information.
If people are interested in the information and get your books, what's the best way to do that?
They're available on Amazon.com. They're paperback and as Kindle versions.
Okay.
And I eventually like to get an audio book, but I haven't got that far yet.
Okay, great. Well, we're so happy to visit with you, Alice, and kind of catch up with you. And we know you come back every once in a while to Kimbleton to visit. So best wishes for your continued efforts, and thanks again for being with us on Backyard and Beyond.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Until next time, here's a thought from Albert Bandura. People who believe they have the power to exercise some measure of control over their lives are healthier, more effective, and more successful.